Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you'd do if you had an extra hour in your day? Go for a run, take a nap, read a book, show up for a friend? A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find out what matters to you, so you can do more of it. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
John Machota of The Athletic joins us here on 365 Sports. A busy man because it is Cowboys free agency. Even though they haven't done much, he still has to be on alert. It's kind of like I would describe what being a Cowboys beat writer this week is like, is knowing that you have a liver transplant patient, but the liver is not just ready. And you just have to be on alert for the liver to get there in the helicopter. So he's just waiting for that time. They've done a couple things, but not a lot. John, the Cowboys seem to have this view of the salary cap, and this actually might be the first year where their fears have come true because they have not had the financial flexibility to do what a lot of fans want them to do yet. But has their fear of the salary cap, rational or otherwise, put them in this position where Dak's window might be closing and they might not be able to get him to, they might not be able to get to a Super Bowl without a rebuild?
Yeah, it's tough to say because there's a part of me that thinks, all right, they're not going to do anything noteworthy in free agency because they do expect to re-sign Dak and CD and Micah Parsons. And it's tough for any team with like three superstars, even if you don't think those players are superstars, to get a contract done with any of them, no matter what team it is, not just the Cowboys, they're going to get a superstar deal. Micah Parsons probably getting the highest paid defensive player deal. CeeDee Lamb is going to get the highest paid wide receiver. And if not there, he's going to be within the top two or three, which is all in the same 30 plus million per year neighborhood. And Dak's deal is going to be up there with the top highest paid quarterbacks too. So you're talking, that's going to probably be over 50, 55, could be 60 million. I mean, these are all such big investments. So that's, I mean, not just what they've done this week. I mean, that's kind of the feeling I got from talking to people in Indianapolis during the combine, is that they don't want to do anything to jeopardize being able to resign those three guys. And I do believe they'll resign all three of them. The problem is that you're not making any really big changes to make people think it's going to be any different at best than what it was last year. You're not going to have a better team than you did last year. And that team last year, although it was good during the regular season and it was great at home, it was awful in its only playoff game. So I completely get where a fan base would be frustrated by the lack of activity. And to be honest with you, I thought it was going to be a pretty solid, let's compare it to a fire, when they lost like that. And Jerry went and poured gasoline on that fire by saying the all-in comments and then talking about it more and more and not really giving you any details on it, but not backing away from it. And then when you don't do anything in free agency, that gasoline just takes off, and now that fire is all out of control. And hey, I've been covering the team for 13 years. During my time covering the team, the fan base has never been angrier.
No, absolutely not. I mean, it is – like, there are – it's been too long of them. You know what? They haven't had the decency to be bad to build up their draft picks. They only have the decency to be almost as good as they need to be to win a Super Bowl or mediocre. Like, that's the problem with them, right? Like, they – Jerry may not remember, and he may not be able to let himself do it, but the reason that they won three Super Bowls is because their first ever draft pick was the greatest or second greatest quarterback in their history in Troy Aikman.
It is, but I will also say that I do think Dak's a good enough player to win a Super Bowl. I really do think that. I know he hasn't had the best performances in his last couple of playoff games, but I do think that he does have that ability to where they believe that as well. And so as long as you have a guy like that, and there's so few quarterbacks that teams feel that way about, you're worried about letting that player go and what's going to be the alternative, what's going to be the replacement. And the replacement could be something that's far worse. And they don't want to mess with something that could potentially be far worse. And so that's where you get yourself in a situation right here where you're like, we're good enough to keep it rolling and be competitive, but are we good enough to get over the hump and win in the postseason? And I think the way that, you know, Jerry meant all in is that, hey, it's going to be all in this season, that if we don't, then there's going to be major changes in the offseason. And so maybe in Jerry's perspective, all in is, hey, I'm not giving any of these guys new contracts. I'm going to let them play this year out, and we're going to see how things go. And if they don't go well and it's an epic disaster, maybe I'm not bringing back all three of those guys. But as of right now, I'm going to say that that's my goal. But maybe that's the Jerry's all in. And you know what? We can speculate anything we want on it because he hasn't been, you know, really straightforward on it. He likes us talking about it. He likes us trying to figure out what he's thinking. And so as I sit here today, I would think that Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons will be here for the next 4 or 5+ years. But I can't say that with 100% certainty.
Yeah, absolutely. So, John, what do you think made the Cowboys fans the maddest? That Derrick Henry didn't get a call, or that they just haven't done anything else in general?
That's a good question. There's levels to this. I think that Jerry saying all in was, well, no. The foundation for this disaster is certainly the play in that Green Bay game. You know, it's one thing if they win a couple of playoff games and they lose San Francisco in the NFC Championship game. They'd be upset because they didn't get back. They didn't get to a Super Bowl, and they had a good team, the best team that they've had in a long time on paper. But to lose the Packers, to get blown out by the Packers, to lose at home when you haven't lost at home in two seasons, that right there was a great foundation for a very angry fan base. Then to come off and say that you're going to be all in, took it to another level. Then to find out that they're not doing anything during the first week of free agency of note, and then to find out that they're not even talking to some of these guys, not even kicking the tires on them. I mean, it is a recipe for, like I said, this is the angriest that they've been, and I understand it, but that's the thing with sports is very rarely ever just one thing. And there's about 3 or 4 things right there that I think have got them on a point to where I don't think, as much as you hear fans say, like, well, I'm just not going to go to games, I'm not going to buy stuff, that'll make a little bit of a dent, but I just think that the bottom line with the Cowboys, there's so many diehard fans that they're going to have enough support that it's going to keep the dollars rolling in.
Yeah. So, John, if I had to ask you now, the starters at center, tackle, and running back, who will those be, rookies, or will they be flyer free agents?
Right now, my prediction would be that all three of those are rookies. I do think that the odds on favorite, I thought even, I don't know, a month left in the regular season, I would have told you that the odds on favorite for wherever their draft pick is was going to be an offensive tackle. And with them sitting at 24, I still feel the exact same way today. I think that's the leader in the clubhouse, is an offensive tackle there. Or a guard, to where then you'd push Tyler Smith out to left tackle. But I just feel like 24, man, that just seems like, or even if they were to trade back a little bit, their first-round pick, I just feel like, is going to be offensive lineman. So you address one of those there, and then I think you get your center and your running back somewhere in the second, third, or fifth round. But that's the other thing. If they trade back in the first, it kind of reminds me of that Travis Frederick draft where, you know, they had a pick, I believe it was 19. They traded back to 31 with San Francisco, took Frederick, but then they got the extra third, and then that's what they used on Terrence Williams. I could see them potentially trading back if all the tackles they like are off the board, and then getting an offensive lineman, but then also getting, you know, an additional third or fourth, something along the lines to fill in the gap. They don't have that fourth. They traded for Trey Lance. But I do think you can fill those three positions in the draft without having to reach too much, because I think you can get a good quality running back in the second or third round. And now if they swing and miss there, then it's going to be a committee of about 4 or 5 different guys that might tote the rock this year.
That running back in the second round should be Trey Benson. I'm just telling you right now, if it comes and goes and Trey Benson does not have a starter's helmet, I riot. Maybe alone, John. maybe alone.
No. Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I know that there's obviously some injury history concerns maybe from his time at Oregon with the knee and that, but find me a running back that doesn't have any injury concerns. I think he would be the perfect fit, because I don't really think that getting another, let's say, a small quick back is the answer, because you can kind of do some of that stuff with Deuce Vaughn, with Kevontae Turpin. You need a guy that can kind of run between the tackles, be physical, but then when he gets out on the edge, he still has a little bit of that speed as well, and that certainly is Trey Benson. And the problem, though, is I will say is that that does seem attractive to many teams, and so it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if another team is interested in getting in front of the Cowboys to take someone like that. But I just feel like they need a big physical running back. I thought they needed it last year in the draft. Now they absolutely have to have it. But can I interest you in another former Florida State player in Dalvin Cook? What would that do for you?
I mean, look, for a stopgap, I'm fine with it. But, I mean, again, the kicking the tires on him is, you know, John, you know I love him like a son, but but I don't. I mean, like at this point, like maybe they should have done that last year.
No, for sure. They needed a. That's the thing. Like I was totally on board with the moving on from Ezekiel Elliott, but they needed to replace him, and they really didn't. The Tony Pollard, Deuce Vaughn, Kevontae Turpin, Hunter Lipke combination, just Enrico Dowdle. Like it's fine, but for a team that really needs to fix the running game, you kind of need that bell cow back that kind of is the guy that you could really count on. And that's where I do think that Benson would make a ton of sense. So maybe that's what they're thinking, the same thing. I have heard this isn't a great running back class from top to bottom. You know, there's not a runner that you know, it's certainly not one of these previous drafts where you got some guys you're thinking of in the first. There's not a first round running back in this class. You're probably not going to see one in the top 50 picks. And so because of that, I could see a position where there's a run on them, and then you don't want them to overdraft somebody just to fill a position, because that is certainly the recipe for disaster with the Cowboys. That's been when they've drafted their worst, is trying to fill holes as opposed to taking the best player available.
Do you see wide receiver being something they would address in the draft?
I think that it's not at the top of their list, but I think if the right player was there in the right situation, and let's say that the scenario right there where the running backs go off the board with a few picks in front of them, and there's this wide receiver that is clearly the best player they have on their board, I can't see them ruling that out. I mean, I don't think they would do it at 24, but I also didn't think they would take CeeDee Lamb as Ke'Lavon Chase on the board, just because edge rusher was such a need for them in that draft. But, you know, CeeDee Lamb ended up being a phenomenal pick, one of the best draft picks in Cowboys history. So, I do think that if the right wide receiver was there to fall to them, I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't think it's in their top five needs right now.
So, and this is the last question. I know you got to go, John. You got another hit you have to do. What does this mean for the future of Mike McCarthy? Look, he's in a situation, he won 12 games 3 years in a row, but they're not going to be able to supplement anything for him based on their cap situation, at least in the short term. And I know they're getting money because of Van Der Esch and Michael Gallup's expected, his release that was very much expected with the $9 million, but that's probably going to go to the guys we were talking about before. So doesn't this put Mike McCarthy in the position where Jerry can scapegoat him, even though Jerry and the front office haven't really done anything to help him out here?
They can, but I think you'd be foolish if this everything goes off the track. You'd be foolish to put all the blame on Mike McCarthy. I mean, Jerry Jones gets the majority of the blame if that's to happen again. I mean, he's the owner and general manager, and he could have moved on from Mike McCarthy this offseason and started moving on with the process. But you got Mike back for another year. Mike Zimmer's deal is for 1 year. All these guys that they're signing, Eric Kendricks, bringing back Jordan Lewis, all one-year deals, and I imagine you're going to see more of that. And so it is going to be, from that sense of, I think Jerry been all in, like it's all in about this season, but it's not all in like we're going to be all in spending and making these big moves for this year like you've seen the Niners or the Eagles or the Rams or the Bucks do in the past that has helped propel those teams to the Super Bowl. But yeah, that's not the type of thing they're going to do. I think the best hope that I could give fans is that maybe we see a Stephon Gilmore / Brandon Cooks type trade that happens, where we really didn't expect that last year. And that also happened in March. Maybe they got something cooking there where they go after a veteran player from another team, where maybe they give up a future pick or something to try and fill a hole there. I wouldn't completely rule that out.
John Machota of The Athletic. John and I text every day and rarely talk about the Cowboys. I'll give everyone on our chat room one guess as to what we do talk about.
We talk about the NIL collectives and whatever other way it takes to get the best players from high school to go to somehow end up in Tallahassee.
Yeah. If John and I found a way to become billionaires together, you know what our one charitable foundation would be. helping those wayward guys.
Yeah, it wouldn't be just renovations to Joe Campbell Stadium. It'd be a lot more help than that.
Yeah, absolutely. John Machota of The Athletic. John, I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.